Good afternoon. May it please the court, Carrie Williams, on behalf of the Colorado Department of Revenue. My registration number is 16805. I would like to try to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. Every person who has a privileged license in the state of Colorado agrees that they shall be required to take and complete any test or tests when requested by a law enforcement officer with probable cause. In this case, there was no violation of the statute that required the reversal of the revocation. The only violation of law that was evidenced by the facts in this case was Mr. Cortina's excess BAC. The law enforcement officer directed that Mr. Cortina take a breath test. Mr. Cortina complied. The test result was over the limit. Mr. Cortina willingly took that test and never elected a blood test. The statute is very specific that the law enforcement officer can direct or request a test. There is no requirement that he has to allow the person a choice of a test. Mr. Cortina voluntarily and consented to the test, and that are the facts that we have in the Brewer case.
Ms. Williams, let me ask you a question about the statement that you just made. You said that there's no requirement that the officer allow a choice, but if the defendant requests a blood test, then the officer is required to allow a choice and honor that choice. Is that correct?
That is correct. But the facts in this case, what the district court did is he decided facts that were not before him. In this case, the hearing officer carefully went through the analysis and pointed out that had the driver at any point in time requested a blood test, then we would have a different scenario.
Sorry, were you done with your answer to my colleague's question? Okay. So how does this whole concept come up? Suppose he had never been even told that there was a blood test possibility.
Well, that is the Brewer case, where the Colorado Supreme Court said that the driver in that case was taken to the police station and he agreed to submit to a breath test. And his argument was that he should have been told of his option to take a blood test or his option to refuse testing. But the court specifically held there was no constitutional or statutory requirement that a driver be informed that he has a choice between blood or breath.
So the officers can simply tell them, you're directed to take a breath test or you're directed to take a blood test, and they're not required to tell them that there are two possible options?
Yes, because the driver it's a requirement that they submit to any test or tests of their blood or breath. It's a requirement of their license. This is a privileged license. And even in the criminal cases, even in the Null case, the court specifically found that the officer may require a driver to select a test. And once the driver has chosen a test, and as the statute says, if the driver elects a test, then there has to be the corresponding duties come in of the driver to take that test and cooperate in the taking of that test, and then for the officer to provide that test. But it simply cannot be the law that every law enforcement officer and agency in the state, whether it's rural or municipal or county, has to have both tests available at all times, or they can't enforce DUI law. That's not what the statute requires.
Well, Ms. Williams, first of all, with regard to that point, in several cases, the Supreme Court has said that there's a good faith exception if there's good cause for not being able to provide a particular test within the two-hour period. Isn't that correct?
Well, that's correct, but those cases all dealt with where the driver already chose a test and he was not given his test of choice. And plus, those criminal cases are all informed by the rights of the criminal defendant. And all those cases say that they also say that any right to a choice is based in statute. So when you look at the statute specifically says that a person who drives a motor vehicle shall be required. So it's a requirement that they take any test or tests. And it says any test or tests directed by law enforcement having probable cause.
Ms. Williams, what about the language that Justice Hobbs used in the Turbine case and just describing the statutory scheme where, if I remember correctly, he said that a police officer must advise a driver of the availability of the option of taking either a breath test or a blood test, and then the driver has an opportunity to choose between those two. alternatives?
Well, that differs with other Supreme Court cases where there is no constitutional right to a choice of a test.
Well, he was just, as I understand it, he was just describing the statutory scheme there, and that case was decided more recently than the Brewer case, so
right.
Does that language apply here?
Well, I think the statutory language takes precedence. And that case was a case where the individual chose a test. And that issue was not before the court. The court was deciding whether this person chose over and over that he wanted to take a blood test. And the officer misinformed him and misconstrued and misled him by saying, if you don't take this test, you will be revoked. And that was a misstatement of the law. And that's what the court said. They said you cannot, even though suppression, and again, suppression is only a criminal concept. Here we have a privileged license where the breath test results were voluntary. The breath test was consented to by the driver. He took the test. The test showed an excess BAC. Those test results were admitted into evidence at the hearing without objection, and the Department of Revenue hearing officer's only obligation is to, if there's evidence that the person has driven with an excess BAC, they shall revoke the license.
Swains, I'm going to turn it a little bit differently direction. I'm hearing the use of the word request and choose used fairly interchangeably. And if we assume that the statute gives a right to request, and then following the request, a right to choose, can an officer do something that stymies the defendant's ability to request? For example, if there were a vague threat that would keep them, would inhibit their ability to request a test, what effect would that be?
Ben, I'm sorry, Your Honor, I think I'm confused about what you mean by request.
Okay.
The officer can, it says request and direct.
Right, I'm talking about the claimant, whether he can request a blood test.
You mean if he elects to take a blood test?
Well, the statute says request and elect. So the way I see it, he requests a blood test, and by requesting, thereby elects.
But if he chose a blood test, if he elected a blood test, if he agreed, if he said, I want to take a blood test, we would have a different case than what we have here.
Right, so the statute implies some responsibility on a claimant to request a blood test, not necessarily to one, but to request one.
That's correct.
And so if the officer's statement that the blood vials were expired and weren't available had the effect of keeping him from requesting, how would that affect the case?
Well, first, there's no evidence that it kept him from requesting. He could have said at any time, no, I want a blood test. I want a blood test. He never said that. He was certainly aware that there was another test because the officer had started to discuss it. But he said, oh, no, there's an expired. I only have a breath test. Will you take a breath test? And the driver said, yes, I will take a breath test.
But wasn't he directed at that point to take the breath test?
Yes, he was.
So how could he realistically say, no, I want to take a blood test?
Well, I didn't understand the question to be that he had already was directed to take a breath test. I thought Your Honor was asking, could he say, I want a blood test?
Well, even if he's directed to take a breath test, he can still say, well, what about that blood test you're talking about? I would rather take that one.
Correct, yes.
And is that what the statute contemplates, that the defendant, a sturdy claimant or a sturdy defendant, that they have to assert their right to a blood test?
Well, yes, because if they request that test, then you trigger the next portion of the statute. But up until that time, I mean, the legislature could easily have put in that it was at the driver's election in that in 42.4.1301.12a1, but they did not. In fact, it gives them, says that if they said, I don't want my blood to be taken, the test shall be breath, and if vice versa. But the officer told him up front what was going on, told him, I can only offer you a breath test, and the driver complied. Under these facts, there is no violation of the statute.
If the officer had just stayed silent about the expired blood vials and waited to see which test the claimant picked, then we wouldn't be here, right?
Well, we don't know. We honestly don't know. And for him to do that, I mean, it's his job and his authority to get an evidentiary test, to offer a test he knows would not produce an evidentiary result. That would be against his responsibilities. I think he did exactly what he needed to do. As he said, oh, I remember we don't have any blood tests. We have not been sent any blood tests for a while. And so he said, and he told the driver exactly what was going on, and that I can only offer you a breath test. And the driver said, okay, consented to that test, took that test. So there.
Sorry.
Let's say that you're just about at 4 minutes, but okay. Judge Roman had a question.
I have a question related to policy. If we were to rule with the department, what message are we sending the police department, law enforcement community that they needn't be terribly concerned about keeping good blood tests on stock or on hand? Or
no, they do need to be concerned. These are the administrative license revocation cases. If this was a problem, I mean, I'm sure the defense bar would be all over it, and those people, those drivers, would be getting zealous representation, and the criminal cases would be getting thrown out. A law enforcement officer, they gather the evidence for it, it ends up being in two different proceedings. But you cannot assume that law enforcement is going to not follow their statutory duties because, what, they're lazy? I mean, you cannot presuppose that.
No, nobody's presupposing laziness, but what about budgetary constraints? I mean, that's a reality of our world today.
Well, and again, what message are you sending if you say that every law enforcement agency can't enforce the law, cannot arrest a drunk driver, cannot revoke their license, unless they have both tests available at all times, 24/7? I mean, that can't be the law either. And so I don't think you're telling law enforcement any bad message. You're simply saying that the statutory provisions allow for the officer to request and direct a test. And if that driver chooses a test, then you get into the rest of the statute. And there is no violation of the statute evidenced by these facts. And I would like to reserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Jim Fireholz, on behalf of Mr. Cortina. We believe that the court should uphold the District Court of Eagle County in overturning the department's decision. We believe that this particular case involves a person's right to choose which test to take, either a blood or a breath test. Clearly, that right is in the statute itself, and it has been analyzed by many courts, Strangler v. Colorado Department of Revenue, which was in my brief, wherein it states that the court held that the statutory provisions as to DUI and alcohol offenses explicitly gives the driver the choice of submitting to a blood or a breath test.
Could it be said that that choice is triggered only upon request?
That choice is triggered upon the officer invoking the Colorado Express Consent Law.
Well, I'm looking at the statute, and I see that part about the officer invoking the Express Consent Law, and then it says, if the person requests that the test be a blood test, then the test shall be, or if the person requests. And so the Section 2 of the 2A1 of the statute clearly refers to a request.
Well, I think that clearly in Stringer and also in Riley, this court is basically saying that the person has a choice of the two tests. And if you look at the other statutes, such as the vehicular homicide or vehicular assault statute, it gives the officer the right to choose a blood test for the person and force blood draws. In addition to that, the DUID, driving under the influence of drug statutes, give the officer the direction of choosing which test the officer wants. And that's why there's a distinction in the statutes, is the DUI statute specifically gives the citizens or the persons that are being arrested the right to choose which test they want, whereas the other statutes, such as the DUID and the vehicular homicide statutes, leave that to the officer's discretion. It is clear by the statutory makeup of looking at those statutes together that the DUI alcohol-related statutes do give a driver the right to choose which test, not the officer.
Mr. Fahrenholz, what is your response to Ms. Williams' point that nothing prevented Mr. Cortina from saying, I would like a blood test?
Well, I don't go along with that, obviously. When you've got a situation where you've got a government authority figure telling you that your only choice is breath, how many people are going to argue with an officer telling you that's your only choice?
He said that the breath wasn't available, but he didn't say that he couldn't request it.
he said that the only option he had was to take a blood test because, a breath test, because there were no blood kits because they were expired. He originally read him the Colorado Express consent law, which he did tell him he had a right to elect between a blood or a breath. He then remembered that they did not have the blood test kits, and then he told Mr. Cortina, no, you cannot take the blood test because we do not have any blood kits, they're expired.
So let me just come back.
He basically took the choice from Mr. Cortina to even ask for a blood test. And I certainly don't think there are too many people in today's modern world that are going to tell an officer when he tells you your only choice and then somehow say, oh, no, but I want the blood test. I just don't think that's realistic.
Let me ask you a quick question about the statute. In Roman numeral 2, it says a person who initially requests and elects to take a blood or breath test. It didn't just use elect. So what do we do with that request if we have to give effect to all parts of the statute?
Well, he took Mr. Cortina's right to elect a blood test away. So we can't get to that position. And I think this is definitely a very unique case. I think this case of first impression with the facts set out here. And so I believe that the statutory scheme that was pointed out in the Turbine case definitely talks about that a person should have the right to choose a test. I think that has been taken away.
I'm not quibbling with a person has a right to choose between tests, but I'm wondering if the right to choice doesn't blossom until after he makes a request.
Mr. Cortina could not make that request because he was told that that option was not available by the officer.
Well, he was told that it wasn't available, but that doesn't mean that he couldn't still assert his right to take the test. He couldn't question about it or say, well, that's the one I want, or something to that effect.
That would be assuming that somebody is going to go up against a government authority figure that has just arrested him and say, no, I want a blood test. When he had just been told by that government authority figure that he could not do that.
So you're saying that the officer providing the information that all the blood vials were expired so that that wouldn't be an option basically caused Mr. Cortina to be unable to request the blood test?
I am.
So, Mr. Fahrenholz, assuming we agree with your statutory interpretation, what is the harm here to Mr. Cortina, because he was given the breath test and there's no argument that that test was improperly administered or that it gave him an inaccurate reading or anything of that nature.
Okay. I believe that the court's decisions in most of these cases, such as Riley, Turbine, and other ones, they didn't really get to that point that you had to show some kind of harm. All you had to get to was that there was a statutory violation and that both parties, including Mr. Cortina and including law enforcement, both had their obligations that they had to meet. And so I don't think the courts look at having to show a harm.
But is there what would be the reason for interpreting a statute that way? I mean, because normally in cases we see if there was harmless error or if there was error that wasn't harmless. And you're saying basically that this is, we don't have to apply a harmless error test in this situation.
I believe that the courts in the past have made a determination that there are mutual obligations both by the driver and the state, and that once there's a violation, basically, of the Colorado Express consent law, that in an administrative process, that they cannot, therefore, go forward with the revocation. However, other courts, after People v. Leahy, have held, however, you could have a different result in the criminal case. This could be a result for the administrative hearing. However, the criminal court could be decided differently.
So what's your response to your counterpart's claim that this is just Brewer and the Supreme Court's already decided Brewer?
Brewer is inapplicable. Brewer just talks about basically that law enforcement officer is under no obligation to give any specific advisement regarding a test. In this particular case, the officer did give an advisement and then basically recanted on that advisement and took an election away from him. Brewer just stands for the proposition that you do not have to give a specific advisement to a person. It doesn't talk about, Brewer doesn't talk anything about whether or not you can take the choice of election away from an individual.
So if the officer doesn't have to give a specific advisement, how is a person supposed to choose?
Well, you're deemed to, I guess, know the law when you are driving in the state of Colorado.
And so they have to make a request for one test or another.
That'd be correct.
So do you think that an officer could just say to a driver, I'd like you to take a breath test?
I do. But in this particular case, he actually told him he could not take a blood test. So he actually took something away, the right to choose between the two. Any further questions? Thank you.
I can't put my finger right on it, but there are many cases that talk about if there is a procedural violation or a statutory violation, there does have to be some kind of harm for that to justify such a drastic remedy, such as in this case. Those violations are typically the constitutional violations, which, as we see in the criminal cases, one of the big ones is the right to obtain a potentially exculpatory test. The fact that this test was not potentially exculpatory, that's not anyone's fault but Mr. Cortina's. There was no, these facts do not evidence a violation of the statute. And to say that the voluntary and willing test taken by Mr. Cortina has no evidentiary value in the privilege license revocation case, that's not correct. The district court made a leap that isn't in statute. The remedial driving under the influence of alcohol statutes are supposed to be interpreted and construed in the public interest. The hearing officer in this case, who is charged with interpreting and applying the law, went through the analysis and correctly found that the breath test results evidenced a violation such that the privileged license needed to be revoked. That is in the public interest. The purpose, the overlying purpose of the express consent statute is to provide public safety. The recognition that statutory violations, if they do not result in prejudice, should not have the effect of overturning a revocation is in keeping with that overriding public safety concern. The provisions regarding extraordinary circumstances and all the procedures, those resulted from there are purposes there. Yes, when in the criminal cases they talk about when a driver does choose a test, there's corresponding duties. But those are all a subset of the overriding purpose of the statute, which is to revoke the licenses of drunk drivers who have shown themselves to be a hazard. The Department of Revenue shall revoke when they receive information and evidence that a driver has committed a DUI violation. There was a breath test result before the hearing officer that was in excess of 0.10, and that was a violation that they were required. You shall revoke. There is nothing in the law in the criminal cases, which, remember, are informed by the criminal defendant's rights, completely different set of considerations than the privilege license proceeding, which is to provide public safety by quickly revoking the license for anyone who was driven with an excess BAC. Thank you very much.
Thank you to both counsel for your excellent arguments. The case will be submitted and an opinion will issue in due course.